It's one of the most exciting times of year in the world of content and advertising as upfront presentations continue to make waves. I'm Michael Gwertzman of Advertising Week. This is Upfront Conversations, and we're once again taking a peek behind the curtain with those making headlines. And today I'm thrilled to be joined by the SVP of Revenue Management and Operations at Disney Advertising, Josh Madison. Josh, appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
So you just start by giving us an overview of where we are in the upfront marketplace compared to last year and the improvements that you've seen in the advertising market over those last 12 months.
Yeah, I think you said it at the top. It's an exciting time of year. And this year is more exciting than last year for multiple reasons. I think, one from just a show perspective, we've got incredible talent this year. We're very fortunate at Disney as we have top talent across both entertainment and sports. And so when you're putting a show on, being certain of the talent that you have in advance, one, we're just in a very different place from that perspective. So we're looking forward to next Tuesday at the North Javits Center. But then also from a marketplace perspective, you know, we've seen broad improvement across the advertising market overall over the past year. And that's been across categories. And, you know, we're fortunate in both kind of the, you know, where we sit with both sports and streaming and live events in particular. And we've got a mix of both large scale that's important to advertisers combined with, very high quality environments. And then one of the big focus for us for years has been building the connections across the industry that ad agencies and brands look for to really drive their business. So I'd say we're in a period of a lot of momentum. There's a lot of activity and everything is looking really good.
Well, where are you having the most conversations right now? Like, what are advertisers really investing into strategically at the moment?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple things. I think I'll start first with sports, where, you know, if you think back to kind of the worst days of the pandemic, it was hard to imagine sports coming back as strong as they have. And I was just looking at a stat this morning that, you know, ESPN had more viewership of sports in the month of April since 2012. So you're talking like decades high viewership, and that's happening across all sports. And, you know, ESPN is very fortunate in the rights portfolio that we have, which is very extensive. And we've added to that rights portfolio. And we've added in areas that have incredible momentum. I think what we saw with women's sports and the NCAA basketball tournament finals was really just incredible. You know, as a sports fan, what happened there. We've added to our rights portfolios across the NCAA broadly, where we have, I think, 8 championships across both men's and women's. And so to have that and kind of the breadth of live programming. We've also had the SEC conference to our portfolio as well. And that's on top of what we do with NBA, an expanded college football playoff format, and the NFL. So I think that sports is massive in terms of its place in the upfront. And, you know, the conversations that we have there aren't just annual conversations. They're multi-year relationships, and some of our partnerships go even farther than that. So sports is a massive part of that, and our sports rights portfolio has grown. And also there's more ways to watch sports than ever, you know, and as recently as yesterday, we announced that we're going to be adding an ESPN tile to Disney Plus before the end of the year. So you have more sports rights, more sports viewership, more sports ways to watch. And, you know, you see all the stats about, you know, the top where people spend time watching, and the vast majority of the top watch events are going to be live sports. You know, it's something like 90%+ of the top 100. And so that is hugely, hugely important to advertisers. So I think sports, really big part of the conversation. And the second one is streaming. And I'll say streaming entertainment, and I'll kind of separate streaming sports from streaming entertainment for a second, where you've seen two things happening. You've seen, I think, again, if you rewind, you know, 3-4 years ago, it's hard to imagine the explosion of ad-supported streaming services or consumer attention towards ad-supported services. So you've had massive growth in terms of, you know, ad-supported consumption from consumers, but also how that translates, you know, to advertisers. And again, I think there we're in a fortunate position to have both Disney Plus and Hulu Disney Plus, we announced yesterday, has now 22.5 million global AVOD subscribers. Hulu, two-thirds of the subscriber base are ad-supported. And we are, you know, offering advertisers a way to buy across both, which allows them to maximize reach, and ultimately kind of maximize the business outcomes they get across the combination of those two services. And we also put Hulu on Disney Plus. We started that at the end of last year, and that fully came out of beta just over a month ago. And that's doing incredibly well. So I think, whether we're talking in, streaming entertainment or sports broadly, we're coming from a place where we have very, very high quality environments, very large reach to deliver to advertisers, and a lot of connections where you get into, whether it's your, how you're setting up connections through data or identity graphs and audience graphs, how you're setting up data through automation or measurement partners. We're able to do that in a multitude of ways, depending on what advertisers, how they want to work with us, right? So I think it's about really being interoperable and being open to the connections that the advertisers, whether it's a specific brand, whether that's against a type of, marketing outcome that people want, or something that it's important to an agency, we can work in all those ways. So we're fortunate, but we cover a lot of ground.
With this shift to streaming for advertising, and it's obviously a progressive shift to streaming over the years, but it continues. How's it affecting traditional TV ads? Like, what are you seeing in terms of where ads are being placed across linear TV, digital, and AVOD?
Yeah, it's a great question, because we are fortunate in that we can see, still the power of a broadcast network and ABC and what that delivers in terms of, audience reach, and also the live events that we put on there. A lot of sports are simulcast on ABC. So you have, and that's important to leagues. It's important to advertisers. It's important to have more ways for people to watch. And then there's certain categories of advertisers that still are heavily focused on what broadcasts can do for them. So you combine, the power of a broadcast network, what it does for live events across entertainment in sports. And that could be award shows, think about the Oscars, think about New Year's Rockin' Eve. These are large events that tens of millions of people are watching largely at the same time. They are part of the cultural conversations, and they're important. And so you combine that with then in streaming entertainment, very large libraries of great content that's available on Hulu and Disney Plus. You combine that with strong originals, whether that original is, Shogun or upcoming Star Wars, shows like The Acolyte. You have, really high quality, really large library, live events, and then you combine that with a large portfolio of sports rights with lots of different ways to watch that. We're able to offer advertisers a pretty extensive way to impact their business and impact their business across, both traditional brand metrics, but increasingly performance-based metrics. Those could be things like app downloads, in-store conversions. So you want to be able to do the whole thing. And then we're also, announcing new partnerships. I think as recently as this morning, we announced a partnership with Walmart Connect. And, that's exciting because you combine the scale of Walmart, and I think I saw it was somewhere around 145 million consumers every week interact with Walmart in some way. And, they have very rich data that can be added and then transacted into our environments, which are also very large and very high quality. So I think the partnerships that we're forming are also kind of best in class in the industry and meaningful, and kind of go beyond a headline, and they're actually really meaningful to the shared customers that we have.
I think it's been a really interesting year in terms of just everything within the industry, just innovation shaking things up. Also, how are the conversations for the upfronts changing for you? Are the windows for commitment shifting? Is there a shift to data and automation entering deals, beyond the handshake? What's been changing there?
Yeah, I'd say in two things. I think and this probably started a couple, say in the last two or three years. It really, you think about upfront, it is an ongoing conversation with our biggest agency partners around the capabilities and what's important to their customers that we're able to deliver. So I think on one hand, there is really just an ongoing conversation around what we're able to do and how we match up our roadmaps and kind of what's coming. And so when you get to this type of year, there's not a lot of surprises, right? It's more about, you know, formalizing relationships, which I think there's, it is still incredibly important that the largest agencies and the largest media companies and publishers are setting their agenda for the year ahead. And that's really what the upfronts are about, is there's no scarcity of choices that agencies and ad buyers can, you know, decide to place their money or to work on their clients' paths. But I think not all those endpoints or publishers are created equal. And there's a handful of them that can do very meaningful things in terms of business outcomes for their businesses and for their clients. And so we're kind of setting that agenda. And there's certainly a part of the upfront that is a futures market. You know, there is scarcity for sure of high quality reach and outcome based environments for advertisers to buy into. And they want to be certain that at certain times of year, they're going to have, you know, the right type of targeting, the right type of connections, the right type of outcomes in the environments that they want. And so I think we use this window to kind of formalize those relationships, but I think it's increasingly about, you know, setting that long-term agenda with the biggest partners that you're going to work with. And not everyone is going to make it into that tier of someone who can meaningfully drive an agency or an advertiser's business. So I think you see, you know, kind of some clear winners and losers in terms of what you're able to bring. And again, I think we're feeling very fortunate about what we bring across sports and entertainment. You know, the combination of scale and quality, it's pretty rarefied air that you can do both those things across those things. And all the connections that we're able to build, and there's so much detail in those connections about what it means in terms of programmatic pipes, planning pipes, you know, clean rooms and data matching, you know, performance measurement metrics and who those vendors are. You know, there's a lot that goes underneath that, but at the end of the day, it's just about building the connections that matter to an advertiser and to their agency partner.
I actually would like some insights on that, especially the expansion of, you know, programmatic advertising at Disney, the growth of addressable audience-based deals. I'd love to hear some perspectives there. It's just, I imagine things at Disney are slightly different as everywhere else, probably just on a scale level, probably.
Well, look, I think it's been a long time coming. You know, I've spent 20 years working on, you know, internet media businesses and internet advertising. So I think I've seen a lot of these things coming, where it's really about giving advertisers the flexibility to make buys against certain audiences and make very real-time, you know, decisions about what audiences that they're trying to reach, what they're willing to pay for those audiences, how they track those. And so I think it is about advertiser kind of flexibility and enabling that. And our role has been to kind of meet that. And far and away, for the last 18 to 24 months, the fastest growing part of our business is the automated or programmatic, you know, part of our business. And, you know, we work with, 31 different demand side platforms or DSPs at this point. You know, we announced direct connections with the Trade Desk and Google DV360. Those direct connections also include audience connections. Google through something they call Pair, and Trade Desk through something they call UID. But I think, you know, again, you're bringing it back to the advertiser. That's about so they can see, you know, why these connections, direct connections matter is you give greater level kind of audience or inventory visibility. So those buying desks can see more of what's available across Hulu or Disney Plus. They can buy against specific audiences. And then there just becomes much more kind of, you know, price elasticity, if you will, right? That, like, there's different prices they'll pay for different audiences for different outcomes. And that's a really good thing for the industry. It's a really good thing for us. We're really excited about what we see there. So I would say we're incredibly leaned in there. And, you know, we've said publicly that upwards of half of our, you know, addressable or digital business will be transacted programmatically by the end of this year. And again, that's not something that's coming from us. It's coming from meeting the industry where advertisers want to be. And, you know, I think it's exciting. I think it's the evolution in media that's been, you know, really accelerating over the 18 to 24 months. And you're seeing now it really in these really high quality connected TV streaming environments, that's becoming the more prominent kind of planning, transaction, and measurement type is automated. And we're also starting to do that with new formats. So not just 30 and 15 second spots, but interactive formats can now be bought that way. But I think that very much is the future of, you know, planning, activated remote buying, and measurement. We'll use these automated channels because it gives just so much greater kind of control, decision-making in the hands of buyers so that they can move things more based on the needs of their business.
Yeah. You know, in the rise of streaming consumption, how are consumer behaviors and preferences influencing your advertising strategy? And at the same time, you know, how is it that you're thinking about value and consumer privacy in that new media environment and balancing all of that?
Yeah, yeah. I'll cover it a couple ways. At first, that just the amount of consumers choosing ad tiers is pretty staggering. You know, it's so if you give consumers a price choice of, you know, premium tiers without advertising and ad supported tiers, you're seeing more and more consumers choosing those AVOD tiers. Now, Hulu, that's been around for upwards of 14 years at this point, you know, 2/3 have chosen ad tiers. And now Disney Plus, over half of new subscribers are choosing ad tiers. Now, but the second stat that I'll tell you about Disney Plus that's equally as interesting is that those who are choosing the ad tiers are watching nearly as much as those who choose the premium tiers, right? So there's an understanding of that the ad experience, whether it's ad load, whether it's frequency, whether it's personalization, whether it's formats, whether it's ad quality, all those things add up that the ad experience has people, you know, watching nearly as much as the premium tier. And there's so much innovation, but it really just comes back to, I think, serving the advertising that's relevant to me. You know, we started our conversation talking about music. You know, I'm sure there's other things we could connect on, and there's certain things that you can understand about me and my family to serve more personalized or more interactive formats that I'm going to find more interesting. And there's a way to do that in a very privacy compliant way. And it starts with, you know, really just understanding that we're looking at everything from an anonymous perspective. You know, you're not using PII to do that. You're understanding just kind of the right signals. And we've literally spent the better part of a decade building an audience graph that does that. And that audience graph takes, you know, literally thousands of different signals. We get a great understanding of kind of what's happening with different audience segments, and then we're able to enrich that and do different machine learning model off of that to get to a place of better personalization, you know, not knowing it's Josh on the other end or it's Michael, right? It's just this, we know the types of affinities people have. So I think when you get the combination of, you know, people choosing AVOD tiers, you deliver more personalized ads, you deliver more interactive ads. And I'll give one example. We announced at our technology and data showcase in January something called Magic Words, which is basically able to look at, you know, say it's something around food culture and you've got a scene in a show where people are out at restaurants or they're in a kitchen, that after that scene, we can know that the next break should focus on things that are either related to food or food culture, right? And connect things more contextually. So you take all the audience and data targeting stuff that people are developing, but you bring that also back to contextual, not at a show level, but actually at a scene level, right? So I think that you start just make advertising relevant and more connected to viewers. And I think you've got a winning formula for long-term growth. And I think CTV and streaming is still in the early to mid innings of that, right? And I think the other big trend is, you know, not all environments are created equal, and you're going to have this real bifurcation of high quality environments, high degrees of kind of privacy compliant personalization, interactive ad experiences that also translate to meaningful outcomes for advertisers.
Yeah, you kind of said the magic word there a little earlier about machine learning, AI, machine learning. It's kind of the topic of the year, I would say, the past 2 years especially. And you kind of give us a little glimpse there into how it's being leveraged. What's the big picture there in terms of how it's being used and how you see it kind of progressing for you? And also, are there any other trends right now that you're keeping your eyes on and looking to explore?
Yeah, I'll go with two. I think that, you know, What's new, right, is people start talking about generative AI and kind of what's possible there.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to back it up a little bit to then talk about AI and ultimately back it up a little bit, just machine learning models and like how those models can be used when you have large data sets and you want to understand, kind of probabilistic models, kind of what things look like. And I think there's two ways in our business that we've used it that are, I've been using it for several years. It's not a new thing. And the first one I mentioned is the audience graph that we maintain. And that is a living and breathing thing that has a really good view of over 110 million US households, well over 200 million various kind of device IDs, and then a bunch of different signals that come in it from various kind of third-party partners, from surveys. But then we take all of that and you're running machine learning models against that to identify thousands of different audience segments against various types of business outcomes.
Yeah.
So that to me is like foundational, that a modern media company has to have that kind of audience graph that has all the right permissions that then can be used specifically for the selling of advertising with the right types of connections. And that very much is powered by ML models underneath it. That then goes to the second part that's very essential, is you have your core algorithm of your ad decisioning logic. We on any given day are serving hundreds and hundreds of millions of ad impressions in CTV and sports environments. And that core ad algorithm is informed by those different audience signals. And that is also kind of informed by ML models. And so those two things are going to continue to advance. What you then layer in on top of that is outcomes. So then so you have, a really high quality, really rich audience graph. You then connect that into, core ad decisioning logic. And there's different things that we've announced there in the past that kind of tend towards automation, tend towards exposing more inventory. And then you combine that with some outcome science, right? Did that drive an outcome? And you get to a place where advertisers just get a much better sense of, how in the right way, again, not Michael or Josh and what we had for breakfast, but in the right way, getting to our interests and taking us on a journey with different types of ad experiences to a different outcome. And that all can happen in some automated dashboards and seeing things in real time. And I think it's a pretty exciting future. So I think a lot of things I'm describing, I think, are what are going to develop over the next 18 months. And, we feel really good about the building blocks that we have to kind of deliver those things both today, but also as things continue to grow. And, I think the next thing is kind of where we start is the intersection for consumers of sports and streaming entertainment, and you see large tech companies have added either, shoulder sports, or they've got select rights in different areas. And you kind of, look in our business, right? And it was Disney Plus and it was Hulu. And then, we added ESPN Plus into Hulu. And then we talked yesterday about ESPN as a tile on Disney Plus. I think for consumers, it's just going to be about giving them more consolidated views of the things they want to watch. And I think there are a few companies that are very well positioned to give consumers those consolidated views. Because I think if you ask most people what they're watching and then you ask them where they're watching it, sometimes they can't always connect those two things. And I think that will change, right? Is that consumers will get a much, much clearer, like, hey, I'm watching this in this place, and they know where they're going on a, whether it's daily or weekly basis to decide what they want to watch. And I think those habits are going to go from being all over the place to focused on a couple folks who have the highest quality, the deepest libraries, the most sports rights, the best viewer experience, the most ways to watch. And I think at Disney, we feel really good about the progress we're making there and where we are today and what the future holds.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's a great big picture look, and also really a good glimpse into the future of kind of where we're going to be in the next year or two and what the conversation is going to be. So I think it's a great way to kind of button all of this up. And I really appreciate your time. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for doing it.
Appreciate you having me.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Upfront Conversations. And again, Josh, thank you for joining us. And as always, thank you to our listeners and subscribers for the support as we navigate the crossroads of content and commerce together. We will see you next time.